The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
If the plural of octopus is octopi and the plural of hippopotamus is hippopotami, what's the plural of Metaxas? Metaxi? Metaxae? Or maybe Metaxas is
whoops, I sprung a leak.
Anyway, I'm just glad there's only one of them, and here he is,
Eric Metaxas.
Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Hour 1. You know how you can tell it's Hour 1? Because we haven't played Hour 2 yet. In Hour 1 of the Eric Metaxas Show today, we're talking to my new friend, Ryan Helfenbein. He's with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. They've just announced me as a senior fellow of the Falkirk Center. It's a tremendous initiative. I'd love you to be familiar with it. So I've asked Ryan, who's the executive director, to come on. He'll be talking to me in a couple of minutes. But Hour 2, buckle your seatbelts, folks, because in Hour 2, we are diving into a controversial subject. It's so controversial that I actually wonder if we ought to dive into it. It's confusing to me. I confess my ignorance up front. I'm talking about the book Plague of Corruption. Dr. Judy Mikovits wrote it with our guest in Hour 2. His name is Kent Heckenlively. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of RFK, did the foreword. Now, he's a famous anti-vaccine guy, and I think Kent Heckenlively is also a big anti-vaccine guy. I want to say up front, I don't have a clue what I think about this or what Dr. Mikovits claims in the video that I never saw called Plandemic. I don't know, but I do know that when people are being shut down, my instinct is to talk to them and to see what I can find out, because I don't like it when Facebook and others deplatform people, when YouTube deplatforms people. Facebook, I want to say, now, Chris and Albin, I think I've told you about this. I am not able to post on Facebook. I have to do it through an assistant. For some reason, Facebook, they've just prevented me from posting. We're living in strange times. And I want to say that we all have to do our part. We have to stand up when we're given the opportunity to stand up. Sometimes just by having a guest on, by having Kent Heckenlively on, even if I don't agree with him, but who says I have to agree with everybody I have on the program? I just want to find out what it is that they have to say. So that's an Hour 2. That's a big deal. A lot of people have encouraged me to have on Dr. Mikovits or Kent Heckenlively. Again, I don't know what I think. I know that there's some people out there that are very hopped up on this issue of vaccines one way or the other. I am not. I don't know what in the world I think about it, but I'm willing at least to talk to Kent Heckenlively. So in Hour 2, we'll be talking to him. Chris Himes, you,
yes, sir.
You put together this hilarious video. It's a MyPillow commercial. I was involved, but I don't know how to edit video. So you did the magic, and I laugh out loud every time I see it. Whenever when I make the statement, I say you don't want to elect somebody, you know, who's kind of like crazy or something like that. And then we cut to Joe Biden at the famous swimming pool speech. In case people don't know, he gave one of his kind of rambling, crazy speeches some months ago at a swimming pool. And he said a number of things that are so funny that I you can't even believe he said it. So we put it into this MyPillow ad. And it's so far, it's gotten like 4,500 views, which is not that much. So if you don't know about this, folks, you go to the Eric Metaxas Show YouTube page and you'll see, what does it say? Sort of kooky MyPillow ad
or something. It says, I should have titled it Eric's Crazy MyPillow Talk. because of Play on Pillow Talk.
That's clever. Well,
I think it might be titled that. And if you click on any of the recent videos, it'll play at the beginning of it, too.
All right. So we've attached it. Yeah. So we don't know how many people have seen it because it's attached to the larger videos. But I think that we will be making more videos like this because we want to have fun. I mean, even when you're doing an ad for something, we believe in MyPillow. We believe in Honor Bound Coffee. We believe in, you know, we believe in these things that are our sponsors and that we advertise. But we want to make it fun for you. So if you haven't seen that yet, please check it out. And if you like it, share it with people because there's no other way to get the information out there. Oh, and by the way, if you ever see an ad for MyPillow, like on Fox News or any place, and they say, like, use this code, folks, don't use that code.
No.
Use the code Eric or Metaxas. I'm telling you, folks, do you want to support whatever they're pushing there? I don't think you do. There's certain elements at places like Fox News. I don't think you want to help them. But let me just tell you that we have a tremendous discount. Just put in Eric. Tell your friends. I mean, it's one way you can support the show because we work together with our advertisers, Albin.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it just reminded me of something I was looking around for. You're part of the Falkirk Center. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I had a coupon for like 50 cents off or something for joining. And I wanted to make sure you didn't pay full membership price.
The Falkirk Center. You may be confusing it with something else. Maybe you're confusing it with Kirkland Vitamins or something. I don't really know.
That's it. That's
what it is. Okay.
Yeah, that's Costco.
Yes, that's Costco. Yeah, that's not what I was talking about. But thank you. Thank you, Albin. You're more helpful than they say you are.
You're welcome.
You're not helpful. And now, listen, we should also mention, I think I put this on Twitter since I can't post stuff on Facebook or I'm trying, but the Clarence Thomas documentary on PBS. First of all, what a wonderful thing that it was on PBS. That's a big deal, folks. Big deal. To get this man's story out on PBS. It's a beautiful story. If you go to PBS, you should be able to see it yourself. You don't have to watch it on your TV. You can see it on your computer. But I posted it on Twitter. Check that out. Maybe I'll put it in our email at the end of the week. If people are not signed up for our email, what are they thinking? Go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for our email. Again, there's all kinds of stuff in there. We don't want you to miss it. And this weekend on the TBN show, we're trying to get my conversation with Ravi Zacharias on for this weekend's TBN show. I don't know if we'll be able to edit it together in time. If not, we will re-air the first anniversary show, which I did last weekend, which was insane. It was so much fun. We had on Victoria Jackson. We had on Phil Robertson. We had on the Benham twins, both of them, because they've never been seen in one place at the same time. So I assume it was both of them, and they weren't doing some video chicanery to make us think that they're two of them. But I think there really are two of them, and that's why they're twins. Anyway, that's the TBN show, which is at 6 p.m. Eastern time every Friday and 10 p.m. Eastern time every Sunday. It's
10:30.
No, wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong, Albin.
No.
Albin, it keeps getting posted as 10:30. That is wrong. It is on at 10 o'clock following Huckabee. I have alerted the folks at TBN that for some reason they keep putting out 10:30 p.m. on Sundays, and it's always on at 10 p.m. So something is wrong. I just watched it on Sunday. So weird thing that they keeps getting out there, and it's that's why I wanted to bring it up, because a lot of people are.
And by the way, Victoria Jackson is your guest on Friday, followed by Fun Facts Friday.
Is tomorrow Friday?
Tomorrow
Friday. Yes, yeah. Victoria Jackson is my guest. She is so wonderful, and we're doing a special Fun Facts Friday. Man, we haven't done one in a little while, right? And we have an Ask Metaxas that we're airing next week. Right.
Yes. Next Friday.
Okay.
This Friday, Fun Facts. Right.
All right. Now, before we go, I want to remind everybody we need 100% involvement on the Angel Tree Prison Fellowship Send a Kid to Camp initiative. Folks, please go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see everything there. Don't make me come after you, but I'm going to come after you. This is such a great cause. It's a privilege to be involved with these folks, what they're doing for the children of prisoners. It's a beautiful thing. It's an important thing. And I want to encourage you, please, to be to get involved. We'll give you the phone number at the end of hour two today. But it is just, it's one of those things. I don't want you to miss it. And you will be entered for the grand prize drawing. There's all kinds of that kind of stuff to encourage you. I'm talking to Ryan Helfenbein in hour two. It's going to get kooky up in here. Don't miss it. Hey, folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Guess what? Can you guess? Yes, yes. I have a guest right now from the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. You may know of the Falkirk Center because I've just become a senior fellow at the Falkirk Center. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I just want to say that up front. I'm aware of it, and I don't care. The executive director of the Falkirk Center is my guest right now, Ryan Helfenbein. Welcome to the program.
Eric, it is so good to be with you. And by no means are we scraping at the bottom of the barrel.
You can't admit to it publicly. I understand.
Well, we're so privileged and honored to have you. And Falkirk Center for Faith and Liberty, those who don't know, it is on the campus of Liberty University. It exists to train, just like the Liberty University exists, to train champions for Christ, to advance the kingdom and the cause for Christ, and to defend and champion American liberty. So that's what we're here for.
So you're one of those kooky Christians that I've heard about, one of those right-wing Christians trying to destroy the country. Let me ask you, Ryan, if yeah. I could. First of all, you're the executive director of the Falkirk Center. Now, I first heard about the Falkirk Center from Jenna Ellis, who's a frequent guest on this program.
Love Jenna.
And then, of course, I talked to Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
I talked to Charlie Kirk about the Falkirk Center. I thought to myself, this is the most bizarre thing. Falwell and Kirk, Falkirk. And then I thought to myself, no, Falkirk also has a meaning outside of Falwell and Kirk. Can you bring us up to date on that, or do you just want to let me do that?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a almost like a double entendre there. So the name has kind of a dual meaning. Yes, there is
that. Almost.
Yeah.
There's no almost about it. This is the perfect double entendre. I've never seen anything like it. I just assumed it was pure vanity plate stuff.
Yeah.
Falwell and Kirk.
Yeah.
And then when I looked up Falkirk and religious liberty, I thought, holy cow, is this a coincidence? Or this is kind of kooky.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm going to involve one more name that hasn't been mentioned, but our Senior Vice President of Communications, Scott Lamb, whom you know and is a good friend and fan of yours, he's the one who kind of came up with that name. And so President Falwell and his visionary leadership in knowing that there is a vacuum right now within conservative evangelicalism where we're not speaking into these issues publicly. And I'm seeing other organizations that have been with us for a long time, like Christianity Today, founded by Carl F. H. Henry. And we're seeing that drift that is taking place. There's other things that are going on within broader evangelicalism, conservative, where no longer is it in vogue to be patriotic. And so Charlie and Jerry get together and basically come up with this idea of a Christian think tank here at Liberty University, but is going to go out. We're exporting this to America and to the world, and that's to champion freedom and liberty. The Falkirk name, of course, is the conjoining of those two. But then also, if you go back to Braveheart, and some people have seen that movie, some people know a little bit about what took place back in around 1200 AD, back to King Edward. There was a fight for Scottish independence. The Battle of Falkirk, the Scots actually lost that battle, but it did help to turn the tide and to wake people up so that they could secure Scottish independence. So that's where that name comes from.
It's just kind of a beautiful coincidence, and I don't believe in beautiful coincidences. I think that they're not coincidences when they're that beautiful. It's the Occam's razor test. You just look and you go, there's something going on here, folks. I can't prove it. But all right, so how did you get involved then with the Falkirk Center? Listen, you mentioned Christianity Today. There has been a kind of odd leftward drift. And these are, a lot of these people are really good people that I think they get misguided and stuff. And I think that it was, you know, really unfortunate that the outgoing editor, Mark Galli, you know, wrote that piece against the president and for impeachment. It really is. It's such a funny thing to me because I find, you know, there's always a mixture of people, but there are people at CT who, like a lot of evangelical leaders, I would argue that they don't, they don't have the temperament for some of the things that maybe God has given us the temperament for, given it to me only lately. But it's a problem because we are, as you said to me earlier before we went on the air, we are finding ourselves in a strange time where if you go with the flow is very, very counter-Christian, anti-Christian, anti-biblical. And unfortunately or fortunately, we have to resist it with a little bit more might and main than we would have had to 30 or 50 years ago.
100%. And so to your question, how did I get involved? Well, prior to coming to Liberty University, I was actually in the political scene, worked on a congressional race, a Senate race. This is all in Kentucky. Also worked for the former governor, Matt Bevin. I was a seminary student, went to seminary at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, studied under Al Mohler and many other wonderful professors. But while I was in seminary, a lot of my, I was a poor student working several different jobs. Something happened where my engagement was, here I am in school, right? I'm studying Calvin and Luther. I'm getting into apologetics and epistemology and eschatology and soteriology, and I'm going back to the classics. But at the same time, I had to have a job, had to earn a living. So I basically get into a stream of small companies that I start. I'm in sales, and then before I know it, I'm raising money for political races. I never thought, Eric, that I would ever get involved with politics. Never thought I would, but I saw a need there. And as much as you would think that within the conservative movement, there are plenty of Christians who are there, there's also a huge vacuum of people to speak into that. And so here I am, a Southern Baptist, kind of with a Reformed background. And before you know it, I'm writing speeches, I'm communicating, and I'm even doing some fundraising efforts. And voila, I'm in the middle of it. And I'm seeing our country dissolve and deteriorate. And I'm thinking someone's got to get involved. And that's one of the things where, going back to if you can keep it, this is a message that we need to be sharing with everyone.
In case people don't know, I wrote a book called If You Can Keep It, and I stole the title from something that Benjamin Franklin said. And for me, you know, a lot of us, we have moments where we wake up. I was reading something by Oz Guinness, and a number of things came together for me where I became woke to this issue. And I have to say, I got almost panicky, and I thought to myself, this country has been drifting without realizing it for a number of decades. We've not been teaching young people the basics. I'm not talking about conservative stuff. I'm talking about the basics of what the founders gave us, the basics that everyone agreed on forever until very, very recently, the last 40 or 50 years. And that's why I wrote the book, If You Can Keep It. And I'm really thrilled when folks like you become aware of it, because I just like what you're trying to do at the Falkirk Center. If we don't educate a new generation of Americans on this, America goes away. So I you and I know that we agree with each other on that.
Yeah, absolutely. There are theological underpinnings, and this is something that is, I think, is missing, and it's crucial. that unfortunately, you're not going to learn this American civics anymore in schools. There's a homeschooling movement that's taking place. We have three children. We're homeschooling right now. So we are teaching them the classics. We're also teaching them civics. And they understand constitutional rights, rights given by God and secured by the government. But the government doesn't give us those rights. God does. But there's theological underpinnings. And this is what I think is missing. You talk to a theologically trained, astute observer, and you talk about natural rights or Enlightenment philosophers, it's a complete turnoff. So people that study MacArthur or John Piper or R.C. Sproul, they're going to hear that and immediately think, yeah, but that's a bunch of secularist Enlightenment philosophy, a bunch of empiricists. What is that rooted in the Bible? Well, good question. We can go back all the way to Genesis. We see a creation mandate that's been given in Genesis chapter 1. We have a cultural mandate that continues throughout. I think of Jeremiah, the prophet who is speaking to the exiles who are living under Nebuchadnezzar and basically saying, you have a mandate to pray and seek the welfare of the city. The city in Greek is polis. It's where we get the term politics. And so Christians.
Hang on. Forgive me, Ryan. Forgive me. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back, folks, to let Ryan complete that sentence. This is very important. My guest, Ryan Helfenbein of the Falkirk Center. Don't go away.
I see you folks have gone away. Would you dance with me today?
Christian bestselling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Ryan Helfenbein, Executive Director of the Falkirk Center. Ryan, you were just making a point about how some Reformed theologians, whom I respect, MacArthur, Piper, and others, that they tend to miss what you and I are talking about. And it's a really, really lamentable development that great figures such as they would be missing this. And you were just talking about the biblical roots of this view. So please continue.
Yeah, so Jeremiah 29, where we see a cultural mandate given to Jews who are in exile, and it's very much a blueprint for how Christians should live that are scattered. There's a diaspora, a scattering, if you will, where Christians are living all. There's Christians in China, Christians in the United States, all throughout the world. But you look at Jeremiah 29, many people, many evangelicals know the verse, for I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future, verse 11. But they miss the first part of that. And what it is he's saying, seek the welfare. He commands the Jews, seek the welfare of the city, Babylon, the city. This is a pagan city. Seek the welfare of the city. And so he says, plant, build houses, give sons and daughters in marriage, pray for the city on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. that term city is polis. It's where we get the term politics. Christians do not have an option to disengage with politics. And I'm not talking about Democrat, Republican. I'm really talking about human flourishing. I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about all the fundamentals that lead us into whether it be economic prosperity, whether it, first and foremost, it's our first liberties in the Constitution, the First Amendment, the right to assemble, the freedom of conscience, the freedom of religion, the free exercise thereof that shall not be in any way prohibited. This is something that I think Christians are missing. And right now, Eric, what scares me is people misinterpret Romans 13 to be some kind of a trump card by which, and that's no pun, absolutely no pun, and I'm not talking about the president, but some kind of ace of spades, if you will, to say that the government has the right to be everyone's abuser, including and especially Christians. And that, and by no means, is what Paul was talking about when writing Romans 13. If you go back,
well, I mean, look, it's patently ridiculous, and I'm always really grieved at these kinds of misunderstandings because they end up being so important. I mean, when you talk about caring about the polis, the city, mm-hmm. it means the opposite of what some Christians say, that, hey, it's all going to burn. We're just keeping our eyes on the heavenly kingdom. And you think, wait a minute. No, that's not what the Bible says. If it did, I'd be all for it. But, we're not idiots where we can only keep our eye on one thing at a time. You can and must keep your eye on the heavenly kingdom at the same time that you must keep your eye. The Lord has purposed for us to be here. Mm-hmm. And there is just no doubt that he expects us to be, to use our vision to look at both things in tension. And that's, to me, what is so horrifying is you're suggesting that, I mean, a number of these people that they take their eye off the ball, so to speak, and they let secularists do great harm to people. In other words, it's one thing if you hurt me, that's fine. Right. But if you don't care about these things, others will be hurt. And so I always talk about Wilberforce and Bonhoeffer. They did what they did for others, not for themselves. If they fought for religious liberty or justice or whatever, it was never for themselves. It was always for others. And that's ultimately, maybe that's how people mischaracterize what we talk about. They say, well, you just want to protect your white evangelical Christian rights. And, you know, I want to say to that, no, definitely not. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a fair characterization. And what's happening right now, Eric, is that this tribalism that's developing within evangelicalism, there's kind of this soft antagonism of indifference. That's what I call it, where there are those who are kind of the evangelical elites. And I'm not trying to make them out to be the bad people, but there is a sense in which, why can't you, during, for example, this COVID-19, these restrictions, just go along? This is just temporary. Well, how do you know that? And what gives you the right to say that? There are many pastors that have been targeted, many congregations that have been targeted. 3,000 pastors in California right now have come together and basically said, hey, guys, we're opening up, right? We're going back to the First Amendment at this point. A lot of data has come out. This is not day number six. You know, this is not March. It's now May. We now have a lot of information. And pastors ought to have that right to speak out. They're not arguing about social distancing. They're still going to practice safety measures, right? They're still going to abide by guidelines of the CDC. But the issue at hand is freedom. That's what's under assault right now. And so I think we've got all these caricatures of what evangelicals stand for, what we represent, and are we being represented fairly by folks within our own groups. And so I'm seeing that happening right now. So I think you're right in terms of Wilberforce, Bonhoeffer. There have been many, many others. The civil rights movement began in churches, and it began with acts of civil disobedience. And my question to some of these folks is, would you rather have Rosa Parks get up, or do you think she was right in disobeying? Now, many of them are going to say, oh, no, 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 no. She should have disobeyed. Right. Right, exactly. Yeah,
so tell me why, and then tell me why you shouldn't disobey. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Ryan Helfenbein. He is the executive director of the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. Stick around. There ain't a crowd in sight. It's time to bring everybody's in the
lake, and don't you know it's a good.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to Ryan Helfenbein at the Falkirk Center. How can people find the Falkirk Center online before we continue the conversation?
Absolutely, Eric. It's falkirkcenter.com. Falkirk Center, and it's spelled F-A-L-K-I-R-K, center.com.
Okay, that's very simple. Well, listen, you know, we're talking about very important things, and it's why I'm excited about the Falkirk Center, and I'm excited to have you on today, because I think there are a lot of good people that they've been persuaded falsely, right? In other words, they have bought into things. These are good people, but they've bought into this idea that if I act politically or if I say anything politically, that I'm compromising my witness, that I must shut up about those things and only talk about things that might lead somebody to Jesus and never voice something that might lead somebody away from Jesus. And I think to myself, okay, so let's say I'm against slavery and it's 1850. Should I shut up about that so that some people might come to faith? And I think to myself, no, because whatever gospel you claim to be representing, if you don't speak up about slavery, what kind of a gospel is it? It's meaningless. And by the way, it is your passion for truth and passion for human rights and sticking up for those who have no voice, like slaves or the unborn or whatever, that will attract many people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not as though this only works in one direction, but many people have been persuaded that that's the case, and they've been persuaded to shut up on political issues or to go, you know, with the secular humanist drift as though they're not saying anything. But of course, if you drift in that direction, you are saying something without saying something. So there's really no way out of this conundrum.
That's exactly right. And I've heard many leading evangelical pastors say, well, these are secondary issues. The gospel is primary. Well, yeah, explain to me how you can contain that, keep that compartmentalized in such a way that it doesn't spill over into every aspect of life. And I go back to the famous Abraham Kuyperian, theology of government. There's not one precious square inch, right? And the whole earth's domain over which Christ, who is Lord of all, over all, does not say mine. That's a mouthful. But Kuyper was right in that what the kingdom of God is really about is about, you know, every tribe, tongue, and nation. The Great Commission is about making disciples. I want to be clear for those who are triggered by words of Christian nationalism. I'm not advocating in a way for Christian nationalism. I'm just saying that we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to take the gospel everywhere. And that's even in civics. And so that means, does that mean plurality? In terms of freedom, religious freedom for everyone? Of course it does. Of course it means religion.
Well, there are people who don't believe that. And I just want to add my voice to say, when people talk about Christian nationalism, that is just garbage, folks. That is a red herring. It is absolute nonsense. It's an attempt to shut you up. That's all that is, because I don't know any Christian that I would give the time of day to who would advocate for so-called Christian nationalism. So this is a red herring. It's nonsense. And you need to call it out as such. When we talk about bringing Christian faith into every part of life, that means bringing the love of Jesus into every part of life, which is the love for our enemies. So this idea that it's some kind of triumphalist political agenda, it is just nonsense. And I think we have to call it nonsense, Ryan. We can be too polite sometimes. It's really, really, it's harmful nonsense. If it were real, I would be the first to call it out. And if I ever see it, I will call it out. But we are talking about something completely different, and we can't allow ourselves to be turned into caricatures, you know, for the sake of somebody else's agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I've got a question for you. I'm mainly thinking about this current predicament of COVID-19. But if you you know, if Dietrich Bonhoeffer were alive today, or if Luther, Wilberforce, how would they respond to the shutting down of churches? And that's I know that's an anachronism, but I'm just wondering, you know, what that looks like now for freedom-loving patriots.
A couple of nights ago, I was on a panel with our mutual friend Charlie Kirk and Pastor Rob McCoy, talking about a number of these related issues. But I happen to know that Rob McCoy, who was the mayor of Thousand Oaks, California, he is leading an initiative to rally these 3,000 churches that you referenced a moment ago.
Yeah.
To have church in contravention, civil disobedience of Gavin Newsom's, the governor's orders. Right. And I have to say that there is a time when we have to do those things. When people get arrested for protesting in front of abortion clinics and things, if people would do these things more often, it would be a better society. We do these things respectfully. We're not picking up arms. But right. the idea that you're going to tell me I can't go to church in a free country, by the way, I don't want to die. I don't want my neighbors to die. So this is not about being irresponsible. This is about allowing adults in a free country to govern themselves. And the idea that I'm able to go to Walmart or I'm able to go to an abortion clinic or I'm able to go to this place, but God forbid I go to church.
Right.
That's ridiculous. And it is right to me. It seems clear to me that in a respectful way, there is a time to be civilly disobedient. This is one of those times. The only problem is usually people are unwilling to do that. So I have to applaud Pastor Rob McCoy for his extraordinary leadership. We need many, many others like him to do these things in a way that is it's civil disobedience in the great American tradition.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we have to recognize, Eric, that we're going to pay the price either way. We either pay the price of leadership today, taking the lead, or we pay the price of failure tomorrow. And I think we're seeing that right now. As freedom is unraveling, we're seeing where folks had an opportunity to stand up, did not take the stand. And there are others who are taking the stand today, and God bless them, and we need to champion them. You mentioned outside of the abortion clinics, we have a graduate from Liberty University, David Benham, who we actually featured at the Falkirk Center just a couple of weeks ago. He was arrested outside of Charlotte, outside of an abortion clinic. And that's exactly what he's doing. And God bless him. He knew that by going out there, that was going to happen, but he moves the conversation forward. That's what I want people to hear and to understand.
Hang on a second, Ryan, another break, but I want to talk to you about the Benhams when we come back. Folks, don't go away.
Sheltered me from harm, kept me warm.
Hey folks, I'm talking to Ryan Helfenbein, executive director of the Falkirk Center. You can go to falkirkcenter.com. Ryan, you just talked about the Benhams. They're dear friends, and I've spoken to them about what you just referenced in the previous segment, that they are willing to stand up in a respectful way, to be arrested if necessary. There's so many Americans that they shrink from that. But I think more and more of us have to be, we have to be willing to do those kinds of things. Otherwise, we will lose our freedoms, and we are losing our freedoms for lack of that kind of courage.
That's right. Amen. And so they're fighting it out. We mentioned Pastor Rob McCoy, out in California with a league of pastors getting together to defy Governor Newsom's orders. But David Benham was arrested outside of an abortion clinic, and he was doing exactly what the CDC required. So he wasn't going outside of those requirements of the law, but he was arrested anyway. And he gave a very articulate, robust, eloquent defense. I mean, you couldn't ask for anyone better in that situation, and he was peaceable. And by the way, civil disobedience is not violent. So we're not calling on Christians to get violent. But there are moments where civil disobedience is our patriotic duty in order to ensure that our rights are defended and protected. And so it was an act of selflessness, in all honesty. The thing that would have been selfish of him to do is to say, yeah, I don't want to get involved. I'm going to take the fall for this. It's going to cost me financially. It's going to cost my reputation. It's actually easier to just punt on those opportunities. So what he did was a selfless act. And I think more Christians need to be inspired by that. And as we move forward, I think in this decade, in this 21st century, I think we're going to have to, it's going to be incumbent upon all of us to behave in that way, respectfully.
I think you're right. And it's a funny thing because we applaud Rosa Parks, and we applaud the people involved in the civil rights movement. We applaud the abolitionists from the 19th century. They were moved by their Christian faith to stand up against their government. This is a noble tradition. There are many people who did that to protest the Vietnam War, whatever side you were on that. The point is that if Christians can't do this for the most fundamental reasons of liberty at a time when the government, which really proves itself over and over to be really often quite ignorant of what America is and what self-government is, we the people have to stand up and teach them. And that's part of what I know you all are doing at the Falkirk Center. We've just got about a minute left. What are some of the things that are on your mind and that you are working on with the Falkirk Center right now, Ryan?
Yeah, so we exist to be not just a place where we editorialize and give our opinions about things. We do really exist to educate. And so there are some areas that we want to push upon. One of those is understanding, articulating, defending, understanding what it means to advocate for religious liberty. That's huge for us. And beyond that, economic freedom. We want to champion that. We are pro free markets, and there's a reason why. I think it's important that everyone have a choice. We want to advocate and defend our country. I think it's important that Christians, people of faith, and if you're not a person of faith, if you're listening to this, it is important to care about the place you call home and to have some sense of pride about that. That is not idolatrous. That is not wrong. I every once in a while, I invest in my own home, believe it or not. It's kind of crazy, but I want to make sure that the roof isn't leaking, Eric. And
that doesn't mean that you hate other people, right?
That's exactly right.
In your own home. You know, we're out of time. Ryan, this has been wonderful to introduce my audience to you and to the Falkirk Center. Thank you for your time. To be continued. Thanks again.
Thank you.